I think the SEC is about to schedule a time when they're going to release the schedules. If they just tell us what the schedules are, I would put it on my schedule.
You are Locked On Bama, your daily podcast on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into Locked On Bama. Luke Robinson, that's me. Jimmy Stein, that's him. Jimmy, the SEC meetings are taking place in Destin right now, beautiful Destin. And one of the main topics is this 8-game or 9-game schedule. You and I have talked about this before. Everybody's talked about this before. It's time to get this thing resolved. I think Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, said something like, it's time to land the airplane on this mother. And he's absolutely right. Let's just get something figured out. Now, there's no secret Nick Saban has switched his allegiances on this from a 9-game to an 8-game. Or I shouldn't say Nick Saban. I should say Alabama, but it's really one and the same. Because Alabama's 3 permanents for the 9-game proposal were just – stupid hard. I mean, just made no sense. So if that's going to be the case, I think Alabama was right to say, okay, if you're going to go that route and give us that kind of a Herculean task, then why don't we – oh, my goodness, my daughter is FaceTiming me. I'm so sorry. Then why don't we just go back to an 8-game schedule, just make Auburn our permanent opponent, which actually – I mean, now that's almost too easy for Alabama, if you ask me, because Tennessee's on the come up. And I'm not complaining that it's too easy. I'm just saying it feels like that. And I hate to lose the Tennessee rivalry, but it is what it is. So, Jimmy, 2 things. Which schedule do you prefer, and which one do you think they'll ultimately go with?
What I prefer is, if Jimmy was a king here, I would want the 9-game schedule, but Alabama would play Auburn, Tennessee, and Mississippi State. If that's not going to happen, then and the only way is Alabama playing Tennessee, LSU, and Auburn, while everyone else in the league only plays 2 traditional powers, then I want to go to 8 games and just have Auburn and then everything else rotate, because that would be more in the ballpark of fair to Alabama. Although when we say it's fair, by the way, here's a good illustration of why it's still not completely fair, because Alabama's permanent opponent would be Auburn and everything else rotates. Tennessee's permanent opponent is Vanderbilt and everything else rotates. So that's exactly what we're talking about with the 3-game permanents, is it's just not an even playing field for everyone. And even when you go to the 1-game permanent opponent, it's still not a completely even playing field. But with it only being 1 permanent opponent, I think that's just something Alabama can more live with than the other way. But there's been something that superseded all of it, Luke, and regardless of whether we have a 9-game or 8-game, I think this one fact is going to drive the whole thing in terms of what we're going to arrive at this week. And that's something that I don't know that was necessarily contemplated by fans. And I've been reading a lot of opinions about 9 games or 8 games, and all of them are ignoring this one thing that drives the whole train, and that is money. ESPN and ABC are in the middle of a ton of corporate layoffs. They are cost cutting. It is not the time for the SEC to say we need a lot more money. As a matter of fact, to go to that 9th game, the SEC wanted 5 times 14 is, I'm terrible with math, I think that's $70 million. That the SEC would like $70 million more on the contract deal per year than the previous contract. And ESPN is apparently in no mood to pay this, as they're laying off even famous people that everybody has heard of. Therefore, there won't be any new money coming from the SEC. And with no new money coming in, so the money is the same, why on earth would the SEC offer ESPN a much better product with no more money? So there won't be a 9th game, in my opinion, on that reason alone. has nothing to do with permanent opponents, has nothing to do with whether Alabama wants 9 or 8. It just has everything to do with undercutting yourself. And now something that's a real step up your contract. The contract needs to be upped before the SEC starts offering ESPN. Hey, you know that weekend when you're supposed to show Alabama versus UT Chattanooga? Instead, it's going to be Alabama versus Oklahoma, but you don't have to pay any more money for that. No, the SEC is not going to do that. So I think the fact that there won't be any new money from ESPN is going to drop the whole thing, and they're going to stay at 8.
In fact, Ross Dellinger just tweeted out, it looks like not too terribly long ago, I guess it was late last night, that it will remain at 8 games. I think that is, again, I'm fine with that. I'm also fine with it in the sense that Alabama's already got several arduous games coming up. I mean, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Ohio State, they're all on the schedule. Even somebody like a South Florida, while not awesome, I mean, they aren't a Division I AA team. I know there's no such thing anymore, but you know what I mean. So I think that it's fine. Again, I know Nick Saban's argument is, hey, if you go to 9 and the schedules are all equitable as they can be, I think it behooves Alabama. There's no doubt in mind. But if you're going to make it where Alabama's path is tougher than everybody else who's in contention, then I want to stay at 8 too. And therefore, I think that is better for Alabama, because I just think that the cachet of Alabama is going to make it where it's if it comes down to some kind of tiebreaker getting in the playoffs, I think Alabama will get in. So, and I'm fine. Frankly, I'd also be fine. This will never happen. There's some people that probably feel the same way I do, though. If the SEC said, you know what, we're going to make Auburn and Georgia play each other every year in Alabama and Tennessee, I'm down with that. I mean, I'm totally down with that. I know Alabama-Auburn is a classic, but if, we're in a changing world now. And, I mean, the Seattle Seahawks have gone from the AFC to the NFC, the Houston Astros.
Huh? That was a while back, but yes.
It was a while, but the Houston Astros have switched leagues. Correct. You know, people just switch now. It's not that big a deal. So,
Texas and Texas A&M quit playing every year. So they exactly. quit playing every year. Alabama and Auburn can, but I don't think that's ever on it's the table. I think if it's one permanent opponent, it's certainly going to be Auburn, partially because of TV inventory and how well that game does every year. That game traditionally actually gets better ratings than Alabama, Tennessee. Obviously, that can fluctuate year to year based on where all these teams are ranked. Because sometimes it's more interesting to a national audience if both teams are in the top 10, regardless of who's playing who. But, you know, my guess as to how all this is going to work, Luke, I guess it was staying at 8. Now, obviously, as we get the news, it is going to stay at 8. But it's the money that's driving it. It is not Alabama not wanting those 3 opponents. What I think ultimately is going to happen, ultimately, it will move to 9, and it will move to 9 because all of it's going to be presented at once. Here's everyone's 3 opponents. We're going to rotate the others, and this is how much more money each school is going to get for doing this, and that is going to rule the day when that gets there. But without additional money, there's absolutely no reason to do this, and I do think, Luke, what's coming is the Pac-12 fans and the Big Ten fans, they hate the SEC anyway. Doesn't matter what we do. They're going to hate it anyway. But the SEC is about to get creamed for this, because all those people live in the we hate the SEC for any reason world. They don't live in the real world, which is that more – it just means more money. These things are about money. The NFL schedule, money. College schedule, money. Even the high school schedule, to some extent, money. Because that's why Saraland doesn't travel and play half its games against Atlanta teams, even though those matchups would be great and they'd be on TV. Sarah Lane can't afford to drive up to Atlanta 5 times a year and bring 100 football players. So money drives all scheduling, and money is driving this. And if the other leagues can't understand that the SEC is not going to give away Alabama versus Oklahoma or Tennessee versus Texas, they don't understand that we're just not going to give that away and make that free. Well, that's their problem for just being stupid.
I can't wait for this to be settled, because if it is going to be an 8-game, then man, that brings in a whole another dynamic, in the sense that, okay, you know, Alabama's going to have Auburn as their permanent, but then who are the other seven? I mean, it could be literally anybody. And that would be, you know, if there's no guarantee it'll be Tennessee in that first year. I mean, it could be Texas and Oklahoma. It could be, you know, A&M could be out, LSU could be in. I mean, crazy.
This is my limited understanding, and this may shock you, but this is my limited understanding. The first year, so the first year of the deal, the 2024 deal, Alabama is going to be playing Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee. The traditional secondary rivals are going to be on your schedule in 2024. It's just going to add up to 8 games.
Yeah, I can live with that. I can live with that.
That's what's going to happen. So Alabama will be playing Auburn, LSU, Tennessee, and 5 random SEC opponents that more or less come out of a random computer, you know, generator.
I can live with that, because it's going to happen eventually anyway. Might as well go do it while we've got a kick-ass team. So, yeah, I'm down with that. Let me go ahead and tell everybody about Built Bar. You know I love Built Bars. You know you love Built Bars. You know Jimmy Stein loves Built Bar. Even with his limited knowledge, as he admitted, he loves Built Bar. You can go get out their all their favorite flavors, like churro, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream, very few calories, very few sugar. Lots of protein. You can get them at Amazon and Walmart and Sam's Club and Lifetime Fitness and Built.com. You can get them all these different places. Built Bars, they're delicious. They're nutritious. They're scrumptious. You will absolutely love them. Go check them out at Built.com and then go get them at those places I mentioned. I like to get mine from Amazon, but you can get them from Built.com too. Whatever you want to do, you can get them at Sam's Club. If you got one right around the corner. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. I'm telling you, you're going to love these mothers, because we do, and we get samples and we scarf them down like they have the antidote in them. So go check out Built.com. You will love Built Bars. The rest of the week, we'll probably be talking SEC meetings. We'll be talking more Jimmy's countdown. And Jimmy, let's go ahead and do that right now. Ian Jackson is on your countdown now. I feel like this is kind of high for him. So it tells me you might be optimistic about what Ian Jackson can bring to the table.
Well, I mean, it's high in one sense. I mean, we're down to, he's the 65th ranked player on the roster, which means I have 24 guys behind him. So in that sense, he's ranked pretty high. Now, he's not ranked high compared to all of the 2023 team that's not redshirting. You know, obviously, Ian can't redshirt. He's already redshirted once. We signed Ian Jackson in 2021. He redshirted that season. Last year, 2022, his redshirt freshman year, he played in 3 games, all on special teams, recorded a tackle against Mississippi State, again, on special teams. The extent of his playing time, I don't anticipate him playing a lot this fall either, even though he's a year older, a year better. I'm actually pretty high on Ian Jackson. I think he's a good player. He's just like so many guys on the roster. Who's he going to beat out? Look who's ahead of him. I mean, starting at inside linebackers would be Deontay Lawson. I'm projecting that Trez Marshall is going to start next to Deontay, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's Jahad Campbell. Maybe it's Justin Jefferson. 4 guys, Lawson, Marshall, Jefferson, and Campbell. It's hard to believe that's not the first and second team in some order. And I haven't even mentioned Sean Murphy and Kendrick Blackshire. I think a lot of us are still excited about Blackshire because he's such a hulking presence. He's the biggest linebacker we got, biggest all-fall linebacker we got. He's good on special teams. Sean Murphy last year played as a true freshman with the first team in the Auburn game. So, I mean, so he's had some experience with the ones. They're ahead of Ian Jackson too. So when you look at Ian getting on the field, but I do think he's a quality player. He may earn a full-time role on special teams this fall. He's a runner. He's a hitter. He's a good modern linebacker in the sense he's very good in space. He's very good in coverage. He's a high-end athlete. And he's just another kid that's just representative of, hey, you can be a real good football player and not get on the field at Nick Saban's Alabama. And I think that's what the situation is with Ian. He's a really good player. Came from a good program at Prattville High School, which has sent a number of good players to Alabama, and Ian's another one of those guys. But so far, there just hasn't been an opportunity for him yet to get on the field much. I doubt that changes in the fall. But when he does get his opportunity, I think he's going to prove to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, I really liked him in high school. I mean, again, this comparison has been made so many times, probably cliche. And there's people who listen to this podcast who won't know who in the world I'm talking about. He gave me Ralph Staten vibes. And Ralph Staten was, boy, he was sort of wiry, country strong, deceptively good at everything, like stronger than you thought, faster than you thought, more instinctive than you thought. If you just looked at him, you'd think, okay, he's an athlete. But when he was on the field, he made things happen. I thought that's what Ian Jackson was going to be. It just hadn't come to fruition. I'm hoping for the best. I love it when the in-state guys do really well. Prattville does have a great program. Would love to keep that pipeline going. And I just hope boy, every time we get to somebody like this and they've been in the program a couple years and they really hadn't made a move, all you can really think is, are we going to see his name on the transfer portal list?
Right. You know? Well, he is a candidate for that in the sense that I'm sure after this fall of not playing, he's probably going to get frustrated. And I get that. I would just urge him, because I'm sure he listens to the show, he should, that look, Deontay's draft eligible. Trez Marshall's draft eligible. Justin Jefferson is even draft eligible. Jihad, I can't fathom him not being a three and done. Based on what I've seen so far, I think Campbell's outstanding. So Alabama's depth chart can change overnight. So I would just urge him to be patient and graduate from Alabama, get that degree from Alabama while you're trying to work up the depth chart. Hey, if you've graduated and you haven't been on the field yet, I think everyone will be like very supportive of him finding another program if he's still not playing at that point. And you've also accomplished so much at that point. Alabama's making him a better player, even if he's not on the field a lot. So you become as good a player as you can possibly be. You graduate from Alabama. That's what I would urge a kid in his situation to do. Graduate, then look at the portal.
All right, Jimmy, let's take a break. When we come back, we want to talk about some 2025 quarterbacks that will be visiting here very shortly, and maybe somebody's going to commit in June. And we're back. So, Jimmy, Alabama's got a long list of good quarterbacks that have come through recently, and there are a lot of 25 quarterbacks that'll be either visiting Alabama. Some people wonder if Alabama won't get a commitment out of a 25 quarterback here very shortly. There's George McIntyre, the number two quarterback in the class from Brentwood Academy in Tennessee. That'd be nice to kind of stick the balls there too. There's Antoine Hill from Warner Robins, Georgia. Boy, I'm telling you, the South is just cranking out some quarterbacks. Even though Alabama goes out west, it gets a lot too. KJ Lacy, one of my favorites. I mean, I just love the guy. He's obviously the quarterback for Ryan Williams, the number five quarterback in the class. Do you think Alabama has a good shot at one of these guys?
I think Alabama has an excellent shot at any of the three. I think it's fascinating that really what's paying off here, Luke, to some extent, it's lucky location, right? You got an in-state player in KJ Lacy. You've got Antoine Hill from Georgia. You've got a kid from Nashville, right? So we're lucky that all these three kids are sort of local to Alabama's program. These are programs that Alabama or areas Alabama recruits consistently and consistently well. So it's not like we got to go to Arizona or the Northeast or Illinois to go get one of these guys. They're all from the areas Alabama traditionally recruits well. But secondly, what's really paying off here is our run of quarterbacks. The Jalen Hurts to Tua Tagovailoa to Mac Jones to Bryce Young, that got the attention of every young quarterback prospect in America, and now they're lining up. Luke went over where these guys are ranked. McIntyre, number two. Antoine Hill, number three. KJ Lacy, number five. These are their rankings in America. And I'm not so sure as we sit here that Alabama isn't the personal favorite of all three guys. And I'm telling you that Alabama, to some extent, may have its choice of the three, which is a lot like going to whatever the best restaurant in the world is with an unlimited budget. I mean, what are you going to order, They're all three fantastic. I'm like Luke. I like KJ Lacy the most. I'm sort of rooting for Alabama ending up with KJ Lacy because he's the in-state kid. He's a lot like Bryce. Everybody that loved watching Bryce Young play football will love watching KJ Lacy play football. They're very similar players, even to some extent, similar people to an extent. But George McIntyre, you know, he's like, no, my comp for George Mac, this is how good he is. My comp for George McIntyre is Tom Brady. I mean, that's what he looks like. That's who he plays like. I think, I'm not saying he's got the upside to be the greatest quarterback that's ever lived, but I'm just saying George McIntyre is a prototypical NFL pocket passer prospect. He looks exactly like Tom Brady looked at the same age, if not bigger, better, you know, at the same age. That's how good he is. And Antoine Hill, he's sort of a perfect combo of both. He's a pocket passer like George McIntyre because he's tall, he's big, he's strong, he can throw it a million miles, but he's athletic like KJ Lacy is. So Antoine Hill, a more athletic pocket passer. KJ Lacy, the spread Bryce Young type. You can't go wrong with all three. This is the only thing that will upset me, Luke, and it should upset all Alabama fans if we don't get one of the three. But which one, it's winner, winner, winner. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You're not going to lose with any of those three kids. It'll just be interesting to see which one Alabama prioritizes the most, or whether it's, hey, whoever commits first between you three has got the spot.
What about Julian Lewis? I mean, he's the number one guy for the 25 class. Another fantastic prospect. I mean, is it Alabama's in on him too? I know, but I mean, I don't know how mutual the interest is.
Oh, he loves Alabama. He's 2026. He's in the next.
Oh, he's 26. My bad. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah, Alabama also in fantastic shape for what appears to be right now the number one guy in 2026, that's Julian Lewis, and the number two guy in 2026, that's Jared Curtis, also from Nashville, like George McIntyre. Alabama's in good shape for those kids. Again, this is the Jalen, Tua, Mac, Bryce stuff totally paying off. Every young quarterback in this country is highly interested in Alabama.
All right, that's going to do it for today's podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We've gotten well over 5,000 subs since we did our Sarah McLaughlin sub rush. So we appreciate you guys. By the way, have you seen the Bama documentary, Bama Rush, or whatever it's called?
I've read quite a bit about it, and I've seen the trailer a couple times, but no, I've not seen the show.
I heard it kind of a dud. I mean, yeah. Look.
The reviews aren't great.
No. Anyway, all right. Appreciate you guys so very much. And we will talk to you next time. Until then, roll tide.
Roll tide.